You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another edition of Lean Local. Just as a reminder, this is the show that does what we say we're going to do. We lean local into what's going on here in Greater Green Bay. And that's not to say we're not concerned about what's going on nationally. And we're obviously very much following the presidential races statewide. But here on Lean Local, we try to focus on what's local, because I, someone who served 20 years in politics, really think that that affects you a lot, like even more than some of these national and statewide issues. So as you know, we've had the candidates on from a couple of the assembly districts. Now, there's 99 assembly districts in the state. Really, 3-4 of them are in our district. And we've had the candidates on, and you can go to the Civic Media app and listen to the candidates from District 4, which is really more the west side and Howard, and District 89, which is right here in downtown Green Bay, which is where our studio is located. So we do that, and we talk politics, and we talk about the NFL draft, because that's a local issue. But today's like my favorite day of the week, the day of the month, I mean. Once a month, we feature Green Bay's greatest. And we can talk about a great thing like the Northland Hotel. We can talk about great people. And we have one of those great people in-house, in studio, finally, today. And that's Bob Atwell. Bob Atwell, as you may know, but you'll really know him by the end of this program, is just one of those guys that made this community great. And I remember with my kids, and we traveled quite a bit, and I would tell them when we go through a city that's great, that this stuff just doesn't happen. There's somebody or some organization behind this that made this happen. Things, buildings don't pop up out of the ground, streets just don't pave themselves. There's neighborhoods don't just develop themselves. Somebody great was behind it. And Bob Atwell is one of those great people and is under my list of Green Bay's greatest. I have some other candidates, some other people coming up, but today we're going to learn a little bit more about Bob Atwell. Like why he became one of Green Bay's greatest. Why Green Bay? And some of the things that make him tick and some things that tick him off. But we'll get through that. So, Bob, welcome.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. I'm a big fan of yours, you know.
Well, we've been together for quite a few years.
I remember you saying that you... Somebody said, well, do you agree? Because I only agree with Schmidt 60% of the time, and I still like the guy, so...
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty high batting average, isn't it?
Anyway, tell us about, let me just start like any interview would start, like the beginning, like where were you born? You got brothers and sisters? Are you the Midwest? Or?
Yeah. I was born in Washington, D.C. I lived there for my first 6 years, I think. 7 years old, I moved to rural Dane County. My father took a job at UW-Madison. I have four brothers and sisters, so two sisters, two brothers. And some step siblings came along the way. Mm-hmm. Grew up in kind of in the shadow of Madison during the whole kind of crazy times back in the 60s. We think these times are crazy. That was kind of crazy.
So when they like took over the admin building and all that, you were...
Yeah, my dad actually worked at Bascom Hall.
Like, really?
The first office on the right as you go up the stairs at Bascom Hall. He was vice chancellor of administration at Madison. So he would get trapped in his office and all that stuff.
Wow.
And he was one of their friends. He was kind of a fellow traveler,
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so my dad went on to a very successful career in higher ed. He and my mom split in the 70s, which was kind of ugly, kind of a big...
That's too bad.
A big deal back then. And that left a kind of a real mark on our whole family, but I'm really proud of how we all pulled together and love my siblings a lot. My mother's 93 years old. Friday, lives in Wausau.
Oh man, happy birthday, Mrs. Atwell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she is an amazing woman. My dad just passed away last year and surrounded by his kids and stepkids and
that you're blessed to have them that long.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad died younger, but my mom, she's just turned 92. She's been on the program a couple times. Yeah, she is, says the rosary every day. Johnny and I have a program on Mind on the Mayor, and that's on from 6 to 9 every morning, Monday through Friday. And I call and I say, Mom, I've got this, after this whole mayor's thing, I said, I've got this radio thing. And well, when are you on? I said, well, from 6 to 9 in the morning. I say the rosary then, so, but she did change her time now. So
my mom's a convert. She came into the church like 15, 20 years ago, surprised the heck out of me. And, but I haven't got her to pray the rosary yet.
Call my mom every day.
She's not opposed to it. She just kind of like has this Protestant thing where she doesn't quite understand Mary and you know, that's all right.
All right. So, all right. You grew up in that's a pretty good family, right? I mean, really, your dad, chancellor, and your parents were obviously educated.
But No, it was a family with really high expectations. And again, the divorce was an ugly thing. But I had what so many struggling people don't have that my heart bleeds for when I see young kids. I had an extended family and a great safety net, a neighborhood. You know, people talk about small towns like everyone knows everyone's the business and that's a bad thing. But I can tell you, in our family, our family was kind of like one of two families in the school that went through divorces because it just wasn't a thing.
Wow.
And it was like the whole community knew it was a social tragedy and a tragedy for the family. And I can't say enough of good. You know, a lot of our schools are struggling now, but I can't say enough good about the public education I got in Verona, Wisconsin back in those days. Well, it was a dedication to the teachers and it was really amazing.
Well, that was more than education. I mean, they really wrapped their arms around you, which I think is really great. Teachers do that.
Yeah. And I had uncle and grandparents and, you know, I wasn't necessarily that great a teenager and they didn't give up on me. So I was really blessed.
All right. I want to get to that because I've talked to a couple of you people who were like, I wasn't a great kid. And then you end up being these unbelievable citizens. So I want to hear a little bit about school. You went to Beloit, right?
I went to Beloit undergrad. Great, great school, man. And then I flew the coop, went out east. Went to graduate school at Yale. I kind of thought I was the admissions committee's mistake. But my dad told me that.
He can get you in? Can't keep you in?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't have anything to do with me getting in. But he said, Bob, everyone puts their pants on one leg at a time.
Oh,
it was just one of those phrases that. You know, just stuck with me.
How true.
Right.
So what inspired you to become, I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I would describe myself as a reluctant entrepreneur, but I am an entrepreneur
for sure.
Yeah.
You are. I teach at NWTC and the kids need to define an entrepreneur and that's the risk taker.
Well, it's somebody who brings people together and gets things done.
Well, you got leadership skills.
Yeah.
That's when I first met you. Actually, I was thinking yesterday, I was talking to my wife about, I'm going to be interviewing Bob Atwell tomorrow. And the first time we met you, this was, I don't know, 30 years ago, somebody on your committee asked us to be like fundraisers for Children's Hospital in Madison, because I think you had a son that went there.
My son Patrick was born in 1999 and he was born with hypoplastic left heart, so we went to Children's of Milwaukee.
Oh, it's Milwaukee. Okay, yeah. It's Milwaukee.
Yeah, and had three surgeries, and I did a little fundraising for them back in the day.
Right. That's when we met, which was a great thing, and now, of course, we take care of a lot of the Children's Hospital right here in Green Bay, but you still need the Milwaukees in Madison. But you were at Associated Bank then, weren't you?
Yeah, I you know, it's worth just a little, if you don't mind, a little segue. I when I got out of graduate school, the one thing I really had decided about my career is I wanted to come home to Wisconsin. I was a Midwestern guy. I didn't fit on the East Coast. I saw in some sense when you're in an Ivy League institution, you can kind of see the way people are thinking about how the future should unfold. And I didn't like the future they had in store for my people. And I could feel the antipathy toward the Midwest. I could just feel this image of people that was very, very negative, sort of rooted in this, you know, rural, gossipy, exclusionary thing, which had was so different than, you know, I'd sit there with these people kind of trashing, you know, Midwestern
areas. And you're like, wait a minute.
And I'm thinking, you don't know my grandparents.
Right.
You know, you don't know my uncle. You don't know what he does with kids from the, you know, from the troubled home. You don't know, you know nothing about these people. You've never been there and you have all these negative stereotypes. And I'm like, I'm going home. And
wow.
And I didn't know, I didn't really have business connections. I had a, you know, a fancy Yale degree, but I defined my job search as coming home, and I got a job in Milwaukee in banking. It was the only job offer I got, so it made the career path really.
I think I'll take this one. Really, that yeah. I don't know that I knew that about you. I would. Yeah. I just want to say that I agree with the East Coast mentality culture. I don't yeah. know that it's negative, but they sure don't respect the Midwest like
no,
they should.
No, and I.
I think that's okay. That's very cool, Bob.
So I got to Milwaukee and I did 4 years of training, great, the old First Wisconsin Bank down there. But I kept trying to tell them, I want to be a community banker. I was on a corporate banking track and I had this territory. I had Green Bay and Upper Peninsula and Lakeshore and all that stuff. And I was really enjoying the work, but I wanted to live in a smaller town. And that's kind of, and I had opportunity to associate and I went there in 87 and I loved it. Loved it for 13 years, you know.
Wow.
Or at least 11 of 13 years.
We'll get to that. That is a great story.
Yeah.
I think people
would say, why, you know, it was funny then. When I showed up in Green Bay, people were like, well, why'd you move to Green Bay? I'm like, doesn't every Wisconsin kid want to live in Green Bay? Yeah. Honestly, it was the strangest thing. It was, why do we have such low self-esteem?
Yeah.
I thought, this is a great city, you know.
I think that's true. I do. I think that's true. And I think people, I'm hopeful that there's more Bob Atwells out there because there's a lot of talent that has moved. And I hope they come to the realization, like, why not Green Bay? It's a great city. We're going to talk about, you know, you've stayed here. So obviously you like it. But I want to talk about the transition. I want to get to that entrepreneurial part of your life because okay. I happen to love that. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Our special guest here is Bob Atwell. I don't know how to exactly define you. I can't say you're retired because you're not. You're always working, but you are a community leader. You are one of Green Bay's greatest. Stick around. We'll be right back. My own drum. Welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have a awesome guest in studio, Bob Atwell, who is this show is dedicated to Green Bay's greatest. And we've had some other guests on. I do a lot of politicians, and I, of course, spend the first Sunday of every month talking about the NFL draft. But this episode is one of Green Bay's greatest, and we have Bob Atwell, who, before we went to break, was talking about, you know, a Yale grad who kind of grew up in the Madison, Verona area, went out east and just wasn't feeling, I don't know. He felt like he needed to come back to Wisconsin, and he did, and worked in Milwaukee and then at Associated Bank. And I want to get to the entrepreneurial part because everybody thinks bankers aren't entrepreneurs because you are a lot of government regulation and a lot of vice presidents. But owning a bank, you know, so what more did motivated you to invest in the banking industry? Like, what was your vision when you started Nicolet?
Yeah, I think it was, I guess I experienced it as watching the banking industry kind of move away from its core social focus, which is on the authentic service of the customer and trying to be a vessel of community values that get projected out into the atmosphere, kind of a bulwark of how people should treat each other is the way. And I saw the industry moving away from that. And I kind of quickly, not quickly, it took a couple of years for me to kind of say, look, if you're not happy with where things are going, then you either go there because that's where they want you to go, or you do something different. And that really became the motivation. I don't think you can describe the Nicolet journey without realizing that Mike Daniels, myself, and Eric Witzak was one of our first, guys also. And a lot of people founded Nicolet. It was really Mike and I that sort of stepped out and said, quit our jobs. We weren't going to like try to start a bank while we were working at a different bank. We just quit. I think it was a really profound belief in what this community is and what it can be, and seeing the need, how we could put a new financial institution into the heart of that would carry forth, the best of Green Bay history and values. And, I'm an amateur historian, Jim. We've talked about this. I mean, this city, it was the gateway to the exploration and settlement of the Mississippi River Valley. I mean, obviously the Native Americans were here and hadn't been very particularly well treated. The first Europeans showed up here. Jean Nicolet showed up here in 1634. And the Jesuit missionaries in De Pere were there in the 1650s, I think.
We were first, right, to the state? I mean, Milwaukee, Madison?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right.
Before Chicago. I mean, it was the Fox River, paddling down the Fox River to Portage, taking the Portage to the Wisconsin River Valley, down into the Mississippi River Valley, exploring up into the Twin Cities and down towards St. Louis. That was all. We were the highway of that exploration. The fur trading, the exploration, and the evangelization of that area. The Christian faith came to this area through Green Bay.
Did that all go into your thinking to start a bank? I mean, that's pretty deep thinking, but it's very profound.
The sense of the history of this area and its importance to the culture of the Midwest was very much something serious that I was reading about and thinking about. And I didn't have like delusions of grandeur, like what's a bank? I mean, one of the problems with banking in general and finance in general is when they think they're a bigger deal than they are. And at their best, banks are just kind of a repository of financial capital and social capital of an area, which is then, husbanded or protected and enhanced in a way that facilitates the work that real people do. Because I got enough Midwestern populace in me, hammering on me that bankers don't really do anything, Well, in some sense...
My mom didn't say that, and I believe it.
In some sense, it's true. I mean, really, you're very fortunate to be part of what people do. You're facilitating. You don't drive through an industrial park and say, I loaned that company money, so I did that. No, you're just, the real people are the people who do the work on the shop floor and the entrepreneurs who guide them, and that's the work. And our job is to quietly, in an honest way, facilitate that value. Our job is, the financial return that you get is the result of the work you do. And that's what I really saw was getting displaced in the industry, that we were confusing the result for the purpose. And the purpose is not the making of the money. The purpose is the service of the client, and the making of the money is the result of that.
Okay. I believe everything you said, every word. Still, Bob, not a lot of people start banks. I think there's people who have great vision and this just deep-seated feeling for Green Bay. And you talked a little bit about history, but, my grandpa lived here. I want to do something here. But let's set that aside. Let's talk about the money. I mean, Bob, how did you start a bank? Yeah. You'd lived here 12 years? That's not that long.
I've been in banking 17
years.
Well, I
know, years. But I'm talking about...
I'd been here since 87. So yeah, you're right, 12, 13 years.
Okay. And so how does...
First of all, you have Mike Daniels at my side and in my ears.
A good partner.
Hey, Bob, we could do this. He was a little younger and a little more, I'd say Mike by his nature is a little more entrepreneurial than I am. But it just came to a point where I had to decide, he was ready to go. I had to decide, am I, am I, am I willing to step out or not? Do I believe what I do? I believe all the stuff I'm saying, or do I not? You know, and I, you know, Mike and I both have very large families, so there was a little bit of, you know, once the water's over your head, it doesn't matter how deep it is. You know, you're going to swim for sure. So we didn't have, you know, we each had $250,000, and we needed $15 million to start the bank. So we went out to the community one thing, if you work in a bank, you know who has money, and you know who you have a relationship with that has money. And we went to people. Our first thing was, let's identify the 12 people who will put $500,000 in, and let's go meet with them face to face and ask them to invest. Kind of a flip for the bank. You know, usually it's the bank people come in and ask you for money, and now you're going to those people and saying, you know, by the way, it was very important. We weren't saying, like, if I ask you to prom, would you be willing to go? We were like, we quit our jobs. We're not talking hypothetically about starting a bank.
This is going to happen.
We are starting a bank. And it was like you when you decided to run for mayor. You know, you burn your ships at Veracruz, and you're doing it. You're not trying it.
Right.
And the fact that we had everything invested in it, and
that's encouraging to the investor too. It's not like, oh, these guys are kind of testing the water. I mean, you guys were both in.
Yeah, it wasn't subjunctive. It wasn't if then we do this. It was, we're doing this. We would like you to be part of it. Are you in?
I don't need names, but was the money local?
Yeah. Maybe one exception was a interesting, fun story, but not for today. But yeah, it was.
That is awesome. And they obviously believed in you and Mike, because I just think.
We had a high hit rate with the people. We
did
really
you?
Did. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'll tell you that one little thing. The people, they're playing the music in the background. Is he trying to shut us off?
Yeah, he is.
I've been on radio before. I know what that means.
Yeah.
You want to just shut it down, or what are you?
No. All right. We're going to come. I want to hear this. We're going to come back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. This is our feature where we do Green Bay's greatest. And our special guest today is Bob Atwell, president of Nicolet Bank. Now the, what are you?
Well, I'm just like, I'm a director and a shareholder and kind of like the old goat in the corner. So Mike is chairman.
You're
CEO.
Good to have in anybody's corner. We'll be right back. Lean Local.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back to the second half of Lean Local. We've been talking with Bob Atwell, and this portion of Lean Local is on Green Bay's Greatest. And every month we feature one of Green Bay's Greatest. And the other weeks, the first Sunday of every month, we spend that on the NFL draft. And not so much who's getting drafted. I couldn't name three people being drafted, but I can tell you it's going to have a huge economic impact. And I want to make sure that our listeners take advantage of the economic opportunity. So we do that on the first Sunday of every month. But when we talk politicians, anything that's local, and if you have ideas, just send them in to me. I'd be happy to interview anyone that is affecting the local community right here in Greater Green Bay. But Bob Atwell is definitely one of those people. He is, I don't know, Bob, I don't know exactly what to call you. You're not retired. You're a banker. You're an entrepreneur. You're community minded. And you stepped out from your previous job with Mike Daniels, who's a friend of yours, and you're president now, and went to the community and said, look, I'm starting a bank. You want to be in?
Yeah. Yeah. And we needed to get those 12 people to put 500,000 in, and we got there. And the interesting thing I want to point out to you is the people who went in the corner and grinded on numbers and stuff and came back with all kinds of, none of them invested. The people who invested were the people who talked to us about why? Why does it matter? Why is it going to work? What are you doing? What's your dream? What's your thing? And they basically conversationally said, yes. Yeah. And that's when people do that, you know, you owe them you know, a lot. And
right.
And not just that money, but and we did, by the way, I do want to point out this whole thing of building the bank around the service of the customer and letting the financial result be the result. You know, we sold that stock at $10 a share back in 2000, and it was over 100 last week. And so I'm very proud of the fact that our initial shareholders, if they'd hung onto the stock, and most of them did extremely well. And compared to the index, compared to everything, certainly compared to the banking index,
wow.
And I it works. Well, the moral of the story there is working together in a vessel of community cooperation in a for-profit context can work, and did work in our case, and continues to work. So it's worth it to trust people. It's worth it to work together for high aspirations and to have them rooted in real values. It's an awesome thing. So,
Bob, I was one of those investors.
Yeah, and then you had to disinvest, right? When you were ran for mayor or
yes.
something?
Social pressure from an anchor here that said you were building a bank. Because you started off in the Bellin building in a pretty small...
yeah, with card tables in the Bellin building. The old cheese exchange.
Right,
yeah.
And Don and I went in and saw you and invested. And then you decided to build a bank. And I saw the bank for a great benefit to this community.
Yeah.
Yet some of the press didn't. And they're like, the mayor's close to the bank. Is he too close? So I ended up selling my stock. And I would have had $2.5 million instead.
No, because you didn't put... I mean,
I didn't put in 250.
Yeah.
25, or I said.
Yeah, yeah.
250,000.
Yeah. But yeah, you'd be better off than you are, but you're doing pretty good.
all right. Let's
You know that whole conflict of interest thing. I understand what people are concerned, but it's so antithetical to what a community is.
Yeah.
I'm about constructive integration. I am not about like this puritanical idea that people should have no connections with each other than the isolated one they're working on in this one transaction. It's just kind of not the way community life actually goes. So,
and it's kind of not the Midwest. We started talking about it. Yeah. It really, you both, there are win-win things in this world.
In a small town, people need each other and they hold each other accountable. You know, they just do.
All right. So your bank, I want to get into your personal life a little bit more, but I want to talk about your banking. Your bank has contributed greatly to the Green Bay community, right?
We're the second largest Wisconsin-based bank. Yeah, we've grown to $8 billion in assets, and we're a New York Stock Exchange-traded company, although we've never done a public stock issue.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason our shareholders have done well. And I want to say something really important. But the thing about it is not only did our stock go from 10 to 100 last week, that wealth that was created, a very large chunk of the accretion and the value of Nicolet stock went to the local people who owned the stock.
Right.
And it's a big deal that when we become $1 billion market cap plus, that there's whatever, $300, $400, $500 million of wealth that is in our community as a result of people deciding to trust, cooperate among each other through this bank that we built.
Right.
And that's a huge difference compared to just raising money in the public market right. and having it go to wherever.
And I don't know who those investors are, but my guess is if they are local, that money is going to recycle itself
here. It's a lot better than having it go off into the ozone.
That's my point.
You know?
Right. Right. I think that's great. How many people do you employ? Can I ask you?
I think it's 980 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you're very filled with? You give a lot of money, a lot. Philanthropic.
Philodendron.
Not philodendron, philanthropic. Okay.
Just don't say philanderer.
Yeah, no, that I know. But what are some of the key projects that are near and dear to, I had to say you, but I was going to say Nicolet Bank, but I see you as Nicolet Bank. I got to be honest with you because I've known you forever and you're always the face of the bank. But I just want to know what kind of things are important to you as someone with a lot of money and a bank that's very giving.
Well, you know, it's funny how people often think I own the bank. I own about 1.5% of the bank, maybe 2% of the bank on the upside. But the bank's philosophy for giving is, let me say, the number one thing is the main way we give is through doing our ordinary work exceptionally well. That's the thing we give to the community, right? By providing the main service. The donations that we do are good and they're important, but it is the core work of people working honestly to do their job extremely well that matters, and we should never overlook that.
Right. I understand that, and I hope people understand that.
And so as far as the donations, we've consistently given a lot of money. I mean, we gave money when we didn't have money, you know. And then, by the way, that's a good life lesson, to be generous with your substance, not with your excess. But we, the way we think about giving is, first of all, is it a good project? Do we think it really supports the health and the growth of the community? Does it meet people's needs? But also, who's asking us? You know, are they a customer? Who's going to actually do the work? You know, sometimes we want to be co-branded and sometimes we don't mind giving quietly. We tend to follow very much where our people are involved. We encourage their involvement in community stuff. And if one of our employees is on the board of wherever, you know, and they're doing some stuff, we're going to want to get behind it. So I think that's part of what Nicolet does. As far as me and Sally, my wife, you know, I'm a Catholic. I mean, I really think the Christian faith is central to the health of the community. I'm not saying there's not other forms of belief that people have that are helpful. I'm not saying that. But I do think the core of this community and its history and its future health is very much tied up with our historical love for God and willing to serve each other as the children of God that they are. And wow. So I've been really active. I was very fortunate to be part of some guys here locally that started Relevant Radio, mm-hmm. which is a Catholic radio, you know, not for profit, but broadcast now. First station was here in Green Bay in 2000. And I think they broadcast, own 180 stations and broadcast on 240 stations now.
Wow.
We're
talking with Bob Atwell here. And this show is Green Bay's Greatest, which if you're listening or just tuning in, this is one of Green Bay's greatest. And you profess that, and you're not shy about your faith.
Yeah, I don't want to. It's not hard for me to talk about what my faith expects of me as far as serving the human people around me, all people with openness and hopefully, you know, with sincerity and, mm-hmm. and we don't do these things perfectly, but I understand who I am and I understand who they are. I'm a child of God and so are they. And you're going to have days when you don't act that way and you need to have the humility to realize it. And that's why I'm extremely grateful for the sacrament of confession because I need it, you know?
Yeah. Pope goes every day. Bob, I want to make a point. You don't have to respond to it, but you were talking about your generosity as an individual and your bank's generosity as one of the bigger businesses here in Greater Green Bay. And you said it's important who asks. And I think that goes back to when you asked for money to start your bank. Even in teaching, you can have a good business plan, but they do look you in the eye.
Oh yeah. No, it's so important. You know, Jim, as we look at the future of this community and any community, Americans are highly individualistic, you know, too individualistic, I would say. We tend to undervalue how important it is to be in relationship with other people and to depend on other people and to encourage other people and to get used to trying to do things together, to share credit, accept responsibility, share credit, avoid blaming people. You know, all those things they work. These are just time-tested values that work, and people are lonely. They're divided. We've got all this political discord going on, which I'm not ashamed of my political beliefs, but man, people gotta learn how to accept people who differ from them and try to hold them in respect and even, you know, affection. And you know, it's okay to disagree with people. It just is, you know.
But you and I've talked about this one time. It was a while ago, but people, and I've been in politics, and I want to segue into politics just a little bit because you are involved in politics.
Sure, absolutely.
And sometimes if people try to be who you just said, they get primaried. And just for the listeners, I mean, they can get somebody to run against them if they're trying to say, I'm not saying kumbaya, can we all get along, but where they start to give a little and then people will call them back and say, look, no.
Yeah, I think that, so this is sort of what's happening on the right now. It's a circular firing squad. You know, if you're not the puritanical angry guy, you're, or if you have friends who are, you're in dialogue with, or you try to make the best of a deal that you can have rather than the perfect deal you'd like to have. You know, now you're an enemy of whatever. And I don't have much time for that, honestly. I really think that sort of angry division, let's you know, defeat this. I mean, some people should be primaried, but looking for the enemy within, you know, that usually that's because you don't have the guts or the ability to really take on, you know, the other side on the issues. And so you spend your time ripping each other apart. And I'm not a fan of that.
And I would agree. And I think
it's like I was really mad at you at times. You know, you remember those times. And you were frustrated with me. And that I always thought, I knew Jim Schmidt's a good man. I don't know why he's acting that way. You know, I don't know why. I mean, the 60%, I'd actually probably give you 65, 70. But I mean, and by the way, I might have been wrong about some of the 30, right? And you might have been right. We're not that smart. You know, the older you get, the more you realize the dumber you are or how little you really know, you know, especially, you know, you have to be, try to be understandable and understanding and merciful toward people because you need mercy yourself.
Yeah. That political, and we have talked and argued a little bit, but.
Not that much, but it's fun to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was the wall, Jim. It was the wall.
I know it was, man. I remember that. And then it was Walmart. So
I was on your side on that.
Yeah, it took a while. There were a lot of it, but I was standing alone on that one for a long, long time. I still hear about it. Hey, you're one of Green Bay's greatest. This is Bob Atwell. I want to get to a little, if you don't mind, I want to talk about your personal life. What motivates you? What keeps you up at night? All that right. Kind of stuff. Because we got the business is taken care of.
Okay.
We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. With Jim Schmidt. This show is dedicated to Green Bay's greatest, and every month we feature something or someone that is the greatest in Green Bay. And yes, we'll have someone from the Packers on here, but today we are talking with Bob Atwell, who is someone who made a commitment to the Midwest, to Wisconsin, and has done incredible things with not only with Nicolet Bank, but with the bank's profits, with his personal money, and got involved politically. Let me just ask you, I want to talk a little bit about the city. What do you think the most pressing issues are facing Green Bay today?
I mean, I think we got to restore confidence in the security of people. I mean, I remember when I was moved here in 87, I wouldn't have thought twice about my daughters walking on the streets after dark. Maybe I should have, but, or my sons for that matter. And I know we've got a good police force but I think security took the sense of safety and security took a real hit, back during the summer of love in 2020. And I think we have felt it downtown and that's been a real problem, but I think there are people struggling to come back but you know, when you have kind of a riot downtown that didn't have anything to do with your town, so to speak, of windows get smashed up, and then you shouldn't be surprised that businesses don't want to move downtown, and that's been a problem.
Or people.
Or people, right. So It just is what it is. I'd call it what it is. And I don't know what decisions were made by whom, but we took a real hit. And I know people in the police force. I've got a son who's a cop. I understand, you know, I understand what the dynamic was with the police, I think. But it was bad. And we got to restore that confidence. And it doesn't just happen overnight.
I want to talk about that. And I want to get to some other things, but I want to talk about that because I think that's really important. I think we lack confidence in a number of things, not just security.
Yeah.
I think there's confidence that we're the number one city by U.S. News and World Report to live.
Yeah. We have a low self-esteem.
We do, Bob. Why, though?
Yeah.
Did we give our esteem to the Green Bay Packers? Why do we have low self-esteem? Why can't we have some swagger?
I don't know where Midwest modesty begins, and just a crippling lack of self-confidence is, well, and it's hard to sell, but somewhere in there, you know, there are real problems, but, I think there's problems in the schools. I mean, I think that we just got to be honest. I mean, Green Bay Public Schools are struggling, and that's a problem for the city of Green Bay. And so I'm not here to like talk it down. I'm here to, you got to start with a realistic self-appraisal that we've not gone in a good direction here, at least in a couple areas in the last 10 years or so, and we gotta get that back. I think the Packers are an amazing organization. I've had times when I, you know, 20 years ago where I'm like, you guys got to give more in the community, but I look what they do for the community now, and I look at, I know you had your struggles with them at times, but honestly, this is not a team that's like holding us up to build them a new, you know, $2 billion stadium. They're generating the revenue to invest in the franchise, and they're very, very serious. I mean, I've sat with Ed Policy, you've sat with Ed Policy, mm-hmm. and Mark Murphy, and you know those guys are serious about and the whole effort to bring the draft to Green Bay is a big deal. That's a huge asset, and maybe we have a little bit of it. We got the Packers. What do the rest of us need to do? Is that
that's,
a thing?
That's
is
what that a, that's that, what I was getting at. Look, I love the Packers. They've done I too would agree that they do more than people even know. They've got a good team. They win, but they do a lot of charity.
Look at Titletown Tech. Look at Craig Dickman. Look at Ed Policy was at the heart of that, and they're leveraging the Packer brand together with Microsoft to do some pretty exciting development things, and those are really positive. So I there's a lot going. Granted, it's a Schwabenon. I know the whole.
Yeah.
Let's not but go as, there. As you used to say, when people are out of town, they don't say they're from a Schwaben.
No, they all claim Green Bay. There's a guy that has his business and he's on the board of a Schwaben and it says Green Bay on his car. So, right? You know what I mean, Bob? Right. We need to share that. And the Packers, besides that Titletown Tech and that whole Titletown district, their giving is great. You know, I work at a homeless shelter. I work at New Community Homeless Shelter.
That NEW shelter is an amazing place, Jim. I got to say, you finally got me to go over there, and I'm so impressed with the work they do over there. It's really, really a great organization. I mean, they're really serving the homeless in terms of high standards of expectations regarding behavior, job, you know, searching for a job. You live here. We feed you, but we got rules, and you got to be moving forward in your life. You can't just be kind of drifting in and out.
And that's the key word for us. You got to be moving forward. And once you stop moving forward, we're not for you because we encourage people to move forward. Yeah. You've been great to the community shelter, obviously the Packers, so many people. And like you, when you started your bank, this isn't a great analogy, but 100% of our money comes from the community, Bob. We don't take government money because there's too many restrictions. They're like, well, you can't breathalyze people. Well, you can't have hours. Well, you got to take people from outside the county. Right. We don't do that. We focus on the county and we do it well and we do it right.
Local people taking care of local people.
Right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So we do that. And I love working there. So let me talk about you, Bob Atwell. Entrepreneur. Very successful. You're very well respected. And I think that's tough to do because I know some other people who are entrepreneurs that have a lot of money that they just aren't respected like you are. Tell me how you got there in terms of, was it the committees you picked? Was it the, but
I don't know.
And don't say you're not. I mean, you just are.
I don't know.
But you think.
I don't know. I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by people who keep me honest with myself, my wife, my kids. I've got a large family. I've got good friends who aren't afraid to tell me when I'm off base. And I, I can't emphasize, well, my faith is a big deal. You know, you spend a lot of time in prayer. You're talking to our Lord about how did I do today? And I got the sacrament of confession, which is a serious thing. It's like, you know.
We had a time already?
He's done with us. We didn't even get to what
No,
you
we didn't, Bob. oh, man, I got to, can you just tell me what keeps you up at night, Bob?
Oh, I worry about the direction of the country and people ripping each other apart. I worry about the security state. I do think there's some things going on with observing people and controlling them and canceling and freedom of speech and all that stuff. It's just very un-American, and you can put whatever names you want on it, but I don't believe in it at all. It's
quickly, future aspirations. We're going to see your name on a ballot.
No.
Bob, please.
No, I am more than willing to help people, as you know, and I can encourage politicians. I'm grateful for them because they have the guts to do it, you know, like you did.
All right. Thanks for being here.
All right.
I'm going to get you back. This has been great. All right. Thanks for listening. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, our very special guest as we feature the greatest of Green Bay, Bob Atwell. We'll see you next week on Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.